Jill Wolf, 34 years old, May 15th, 2014, Chicago Cultural Center, and my relationship is friend, colleague, and fellow advocate.
Toyin Felusi Adeyemi, 44, May 15, 2014, Chicago Cultural Center, relationship, fellow advocate.
Hey, Toyin, I'm thrilled that I get to hear some of what you have to say today, and hope we get to a lot of places. My first question is really kind of easy and very open-ended, which is, tell me about you, where you come from, and a little bit about your childhood and the family that you were raised in.
I am fortunate to be raised by wonderful parents. Grew up in Nigeria. So I was born in Ithaca, New York. They were PhD students at Cornell. And I'm first of five siblings. I went through my early education all through med school in Nigeria, and then moved to the United States, to Chicago, in the middle of January of 94. And I have been practicing since residency in the Chicago, Illinois Medical District, initially at UIC, then fellowship at Rush, and I've been on full-time staff at Cook County Health and Hospital Systems and the Core Center since 2001. But I left Nigeria wanting to be a cardiologist because the cardiologists at my med school were like the smartest people I thought on the face of the earth. Then I got here and I had my first two rotations, a lot of HIV patients, and it was clearly infectious disease. And being able to do infectious disease and do HIV and hepatitis C is like best case scenario.
So how long have you been doing infectious disease work?
I completed my fellowship in 2001. So I was a fellow for 2 years at the Rush Cook County Joint Infectious Disease Program and started taking care of adults living with HIV at the Core Center in 1999. So pretty much 15 years now.
So you work at the Core Center.
Yes.
Tell a little bit about what the Core Center is and what it's like for you in your heart to work at the Core Center.
Can you tell that I'm excited about being at Core? I don't know if you can tell. I am. And it's been 15 years since my first day as a fellow in 1999. We had 2 years of continuity clinic. So you actually had your own practice as a fellow at the Core Center, even though you were a Rush County fellow. And so some of those patients, a lot of them, when I stayed on faculty at the Core Center, are my patients. I've had them since 99. They're my brothers and sisters. The Core Center is a place that the mission, and they actually live the mission. The mission is to provide care, education, research for infectious diseases. So for a while, you know, everyone thought of it just as an HIV center. And, you're aware of all the stigma around HIV and infectious diseases. Sometimes we had patients who wouldn't engage in care because they didn't want to be seen, or they would get off the train 4 blocks away because they didn't want to be on Damon and Harrison. But over time, we've built it up to at least the community as a center of excellence for HIV, but also all infectious diseases, including hepatitis, sexually transmitted diseases. We do a lot of clinical trials on HIV and hepatitis C research. We do a lot of preventive trials on PrEP and other aspects. We have cohort studies for men, for women, for aging studies. We have a huge pediatric program. And then there's a lot of stuff on education. We have a whole prevention and education floor with data and information for patients, for people who come with them to the clinic, and a lot of, you know, on-site testing for STDs and other infectious diseases. In 2001, finishing fellowship, one out of three of our HIV patients had hepatitis C, and nobody was treating hepatitis C, especially in HIV patients. It was kind of like, how do we treat hep C when we have so much other stuff going on? And I went up to him, I said, Hopkins has a clinic, a co-infection clinic. It's their HIV doctors doing it. If we're able to replicate that and kind of, they have a 2-year head start. This was 2001. He said, what do you need? Where is the space and what do you need? And we're able to put together a team of, you know, a hepatologist, myself, two excellent nurse practitioners, and radiology to do the ultrasound so we could do our own biopsies. That clinic started in 01. It's a center of excellence, a hepatitis clinic. But it was my chair saying, it's going to be a lot of hard work. If you want to do it, go for it. And that clinic is, you know, 14 years now, and it's been a great, great, great asset for the county to be able to treat hepatitis.
That leads me to my question of, you know, I have a very passionate infectious disease doctor sitting in front of me who comes at it with heart and obviously brain. I'm wondering, you know, what needs to happen in regards to hepatitis C? You've been treating HIV for a really long time. There's amazing infrastructure in place, which doesn't exist for hepatitis C. What are you seeing with your hepatitis C patients? I mean, obviously hepatitis C is out there, but something's got to give. And as an advocate, I have ideas. As a medical physician, right now we don't have doctors chaining themselves to the National Institute of Health saying, hey, our patients are dying, which is part of what created movement with HIV. Mm-hmm. What's different about hepatitis C? What's the same? How can we pull on the heart of people to really get some movement on this from your perspective?
Well, I think partnering with organizations like yours, like Caring Ambassadors, like the Liver Foundation, to say, okay, here we are. We've known about hepatitis C for a long time, and people have been treated in small numbers for a variety of reasons, mostly because the response rates to standard treatments were really poor and the toxicities were pretty high. So here we are, we're at a perfect place to really get ramp that up. And you talked about, you know, advocacy and providers, you know, and advocates getting out there and saying we need funding for hepatitis C. And we're getting there because hepatitis C is a chronic illness where the manifestations are in a lot of people decades after infection. And we are in that group where the baby boomers now have had infection for 1, 2, 3 decades. And we're seeing now in the healthcare setting, patients with very advanced liver disease. You know, we're also seeing a lot of people who are tested when they come in for other reasons. So a lot of patients in the US who have hepatitis C don't even know about it yet. So that's a huge part of where the work needs to go to increase the number of people who are tested, especially in those in the birth cohort 1945 to 65. We need to figure out how to educate not just the providers and about testing, but also the community at large about hepatitis C, destigmatizing that and not asking questions about how you could have gotten it. How, it doesn't matter. Like testing patients, we need to advocate for funds to actually collect the data, to know what to do, how to link people to care. And all of those steps, before you even get to the fabulous treatments we have now, they're human steps. And funds need to be allocated. You make an excellent point. Funds for hepatitis C are minimal, both from to the departments of public health for data and for epi stuff, and also for clinical trials and for treatments. And one of the things we need to do is kind of show that the faces of hepatitis C, things like what you're doing, recording patient voices, you know, destigmatizing what the treatment meant. There's a lot of stigma about interferon and treatment and letting people know that there are new options.
Anything else you might want to leave us with?
No, it's a pleasure doing this with you.